I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Sri Shad Goswami Prabhu Ki. So today we're going on to chapter 28, existential ecstatic love or sattvika bhava. This is in your overview books on page 40. I hope you read through it, because it is more complex than anubhava, for example, at least the presentation that we saw in chapter 27 on anubhava. So sattvika bhava is really quite deep. They're all quite deep, but this is particularly deep. I'll just read a little bit then from this, from the overview book. So we begin by saying, existential ecstatic love is Srila Prabhupada's translation of sattvika bhava. In this context, the word sattva does not refer to the mode of goodness, but Shuddha sattva, the Lord's internal potency. As described in chapter 17, the Lord's Shuddha sattva descends into the heart at the stage of bhava and energizes one's dormant love of Godhead. Sattvika bhavas are ecstatic symptoms that arise directly from the Shuddha sattva enriched soul. Well, that in a nutshell is what it's about, in very sort of simple terms, the basic idea. The Shuddha Sattva potency, internal potency of the Lord, enters the heart. And this, as soon as that happens, one is considered to be on the level of bhava. Even if right at the very first stage, the very earliest stages when that happens, still there are other things which are there. Some contaminations are still there. That would particularly, of course, be some offenses or reactions, latent reactions to offenses. But as soon as there's just a glimpse of that Shuddha Sattva internal potency, one is considered to be on the level of bhava, even if some other things are there for a short period of time, which would generally only be a short period of time, because that Shuddha Sattva potency is so potent. Just, I forget the exact wording, but in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says something to the effect that it's like just one grain of bhava, something like that, just one drop of bhava is sufficient to extinguish ignorance completely. So it would be a pretty quick transition, but there would be some initial period where there's some touch of bhava and other things are still there. Material things, or particularly offenses. Now, we, in the second paragraph in the overview book, we make a little effort to distinguish sattvika bhava from anubhava. Of course, in a sense, sattvika bhava is a type of anubhava because it is following. It is following some stimulation. But anubhava is sometimes or often premeditated. One decides, right, I will surrender. I will offer my obeisances, something like that. Not always, but often, or sometimes at least. Anubhavas are external, and sattvika bhavas are external, but sometimes also internal. there may not be an external manifestation so much. Then, the third paragraph, unfortunately the first line got cut off, sorry about that. But it's just we're just quoting the first sentence of the first paragraph on page 223, the first paragraph in this chapter. And Srila Prabhupada says, when a devotee is always intensely affected by love for Krishna, so that's one point, it's intense. Sattvika bhavas are intense, very intense. And in a direct relationship with Krishna, so what does that mean? Direct relationship means one of the five sthayi bhavas. Of course, we haven't discussed them in detail yet, but we know that they are there and we know what they are. The five rasas, but in their sort of preliminary states, most simple states, not fully manifest, but they're there. What your eternal relationship with Krishna is, Shantaras, Dasyaras, and so on, or whichever one it is. Yes, so, in a direct relationship with him, or even a little apart from him, what does that mean? It means the seven indirect sthayi bhavas. There are 12 permanent ecstasies. Five are direct, or the main rasas, Shantadasya, Sakyavatsalya, and Madhurya. Seven are indirect. Laughing, astonishment, chivalry, and so on. We'll come to those in a couple of days. So, sattvika bhava then is very intense. It's generally either connected with a direct, your main sthayi bhava, or it may be connected with an indirect sthayi bhava, or it may even be just kind of indirect in another sense. We'll come to that in a minute or two. So these three basic characteristics are there of sthayi bhava. So when these three things are there, or at least two of the three are there, the intensity with the direct or indirect relationship, then this is called sattvika bhava. The potency, the internal potency, contacting and arousing your eternal relationship or some aspect of it, or at least some very intense experience in Krishna consciousness. This is called sattvika bhava. Okay, now, on the same page in Nectar of Devotion, now into the second paragraph at the bottom of page 40 of the overview book, there are three types. There are eight sattvika bhavas, but there are three types of situations in which they arise. That's basically what we mean. So one is called moist, or Sanskrit is snigda. One is called burnt, and the third is called dried up. Moist means it is either from the direct, your direct, or some indirect sthayi bhava. Burnt means it is not connected. It is indirect in another sense. It is not connected with your eternal rasa or one of the indirect sthayi bhavas. But these two, moist and burnt, they occur amongst devotees, then dried up. It doesn't sound extremely impressive. Dried up. So this means when sometimes such symptoms appear in a non-devotee. then they're not really very substantial. So then in our overview book, over the page, we give some examples, or we just basically point out the examples which are given in Nectar of Devotion. So there, moist is there in the second paragraph on page 223. That is dealing with moist. There is direct, an example of direct moist means where the primary rasa, your primary rasa predominates. And, I mean, the sattvika bhava is in terms of your primary rasa. And indirect moist means when the indirect stai bhava, anger or whatever it may be, is connected with the sattvika bhava. So the examples are there in that paragraph. Radharani was making a garland. She heard Krishna's flute and she stopped her work. Or what? She became stunned. Of course, we haven't gone through the eight specific stai bhavas, but that's one of them. Becoming stunned. She became stunned. Now, it was connected with her main, her direct stai bhava. That means her conjugal relationship with Krishna. Therefore, it is direct moist. Then, in the same paragraph, there's the example of Mother Yashoda getting angry with Kamsa, actually. Oh, we say Nanda Maharaj, but it wasn't Nanda Maharaj, sorry. It was actually Kamsa, the king of Mathura. That's a mistake in the overview book. Akrura. Anyway, I'm sure she got pretty angry with Kamsa too, and that's what it says here. So now, this is, she, what happened to her? Well, it doesn't come out so clearly, but in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's very clear that her voice started faltering. That was the sattvika bhava. Her voice started to falter as she rebuked the king of Mathura, Kamsa, for taking Krishna away. So she didn't rebuke her husband. Sorry about that. You could maybe just note that in the overview book. She started rebuking Kamsa. So it is to do with anger. It is not really so much to do with the rasa. She doesn't have a motherly relationship with Kamsa. But she got angry with Kamsa. That's an indirect rasa, or stai bhava, shall we say. So there you have an example of that. Then the next paragraph is dealing with the burnt up, the burnt ones. So there's one example. Now burnt, what does it mean? It means there's a devotee involved, but the ecstatic symptom is arising not because of either a direct or indirect stai bhava, because you don't really experience much bhava about putana. I mean, stai bhava in regard to putana. So she dreamt that putana, she dreamt of putana and she trembled. Trembling is a sattvika bhava, but it arose because of putana, not really because of Krishna. Then Well, the non-devotees, there's no specific example given, but we thought of an example. I'm sure there's a number of examples. What about that fisherman who caught Lord Chaitanya in his net and thought he'd caught a ghost or something very strange and touched Lord Chaitanya, and immediately sattvika bhava symptoms appeared. But he didn't know, so he thought he had become haunted. So he went running down the beach trying to find an exorcist, found Swarup Damodar, who was looking for Lord Chaitanya, and told him, you know, I caught a ghost. And Swarup Damodar immediately understood he must have contacted Lord Chaitanya in some extraordinary way. And the man said, yes, now I'm haunted and I need an exorcist. So Swarup Damodar said, well, you're in luck today. I happen to be a big exorcist. So he was this crying and various other symptoms, which is sattvika bhavas, trembling, hair standing on end. Various of these things were happening to him. He didn't even know that this had anything to do with Krishna consciousness. He himself didn't have much to do with Krishna consciousness. He was a fisherman, and as he put it himself, I just wander around at night killing fish. So he wasn't really into Krishna consciousness. And maybe, anyway, I'm sure we could think of some other examples there also. But at this point, let's just get the basic idea because there's a lot to cover. So now we go on to the eight sattvika bhavas. First of all, there's an explanation how they arise. Now, in the book, well, first of all, he lists them out, actually. Stunned, perspiring, standing of the hairs, faltering of the voice, trembling of the body, change of color, shedding of tears, and devastation. So there are eight very specific sattvika bhavas. And then he gives this explanation how they come about. And this is what we've written on the board here. So the basic idea is that the internal potency descends into the heart and contacts the elements which the body is composed of, contact the life ears, perhaps more specifically, which are in contact with the elements, contact the life ears, and then in different ways, and depending on the way that the life ear gets stimulated, it contacts one or other of the five main bodily elements. So we wrote it up on the board there just to make it clear. So first of all, there's some shuddha-sattva influence, some internal potency influence. It agitates the heart, agitates the mind. This affects the life ear. It's all going from shuddha-sattva through the heart or mind, contacting the life ear in different ways. Then the dislodged life ear, depending on how it's been dislodged, contacts a particular one, or it may even be a number, because you can get more than one sattvika bhava at a time. And even in some cases, you may actually, there are cases at least of all of them being manifest. So depending on how the life ear is agitated, then the life ear will agitate a particular one of the elements which the body is composed of. So as we've written up here on the board in a sort of simple diagrammatic form, if the life ear happens to particularly influence earth in the body, then the devotee becomes stunned. If the life ear happens to stimulate the water element within the body, then there's shedding of tears. In other words, it's not just like a sentiment. It's not just a sentiment. It means the whole bodily constitution is being affected. And even there are cases like there's one case of Raghunath Das, who we may have even mentioned it earlier on in the course, got severely overwhelmed. And it affected his whole bodily constitution so powerfully, it seemed like he would die because his body would just, you know, sort of fall to pieces or something like that. So when the life air contacts, is like forced through this influence of Shuddha Sattva into this powerful contact with the fire element, then there's perspiration. Or maybe changing of bodily color. When the life air is powerfully forced into contact with the air element, then either your hairs will stand up, or your voice may falter, or you may tremble, or two or even all three is possible. But those are the types of symptoms or bhavas which manifest in that situation. And if the element ether or sky within your body becomes affected, then there's this general devastation, which is like stunned, but it goes beyond stunned. Okay. So now, that's a little sort of technical information. That's there on bottom of page 223 and top of page 224 in your Nectar of Devotion. And then you'll see on page 224, the second paragraph, Prabhupada does say, these symptoms are sometimes manifested internally and sometimes externally. So now we have the discussion about the eight sattvika bhavas, each one in detail. Now, because of the time factor, I think we'll restrict ourselves to the first one, becoming stunned. And I think that'll at least give the basic idea, which you can then apply to the others. Now, an interesting point. In your Nectar of Devotion, and actually it's there at the top of page 42 of your overview book, we quote Prabhupada, who says, the symptom of being stunned is caused by ecstatic tribulation, fearfulness, astonishment, lamentation, and anger. Now, you can sort of apply that to all eight. These are the general causes. In most cases, one of that group of, what is that, five, these are the types of situations which will stimulate sattvika bhava. In other words, it's not just to do with becoming stunned, although it certainly does apply to becoming stunned. So you'll see that there are examples given of becoming stunned through experiencing different things. In the overview book, we give the example. It's from the second paragraph in the becoming stunned section in Nectar of Devotion that one gopi saw Krishna dressed as a gardening maid. and became stunned by what? Astonishment. Yeah, it seems to be astonishment. Then the next one is Devaki becomes stunned. That looks more like fearfulness, something like that. Then Lord Brahma, became stunned because of astonishment. Then, let's see. Oh, yeah. Over on page 225 in the second paragraph, astonishment caused by, becoming stunned caused by lamentation. When Krishna was swallowed by Bakasura, it's not exactly astonishment caused by lamentation. It's becoming stunned caused by lamentation, strictly speaking. Although, I'm sure they were pretty astonished at the same time. But the main thing is, they became stunned because they were lamenting when Krishna was swallowed and they thought, gee, maybe that's the end of Krishna. And then Arjuna, he became stunned also by lamentation when he saw Ashwatthama was going to release the Brahmastra. Now, we've made it pretty clear when it comes to all the other seven, where you get perspiring due to this or due to that or due to whatever, and so on and so forth. You just have to go through them, and it's kind of self-evident, really. So therefore, because there is quite a bit to go through, I thought we would not go through all eight in detail, and unless maybe we finish in time. So what I'd like to do now is go on to page 44 in the overview book and page 229 in Nectar of Devotion, degrees. There are three main degrees. Actually, there are five degrees when you really get down to it. But there are three main degrees. Now, Prabhupada, there are criteria for one deducing what degree is applicable. Whether it is, a small degree, a medium degree, a large degree, or whatever it may be. There are three criteria, actually. And Prabhupada refers to this. Let's see now. This is on page 229. The three degrees. Where's that? Oh, yeah. These three degrees. It's in the first paragraph in the section, Degrees of Ecstatic Symptoms, and it's about the seventh line down. These three degrees are experienced for many, many years, and they extend to different parts of the body. So one is duration of time, that the ecstatic symptom or symptoms are manifest. One is the pervasiveness. It says extend to different parts of the body. So how pervasive the sattvika bhava is throughout the whole bodily constitution. And the third is the intensity. For example, if there's trembling, pervasiveness in regard to trembling would mean maybe only the hands will tremble. So then it's not very pervasive. But if the entire body trembled, it's more pervasive, so it would be a greater degree of intensity. or a greater degree of manifestation, at least, of that particular sattvika bhava, in that case, trembling. And then intensity, whether in the case of trembling, whether there is slight trembling or great trembling. So, like this, there are these criteria for classifying the particular experience of sattvika bhava as either, you know, slight, medium, great, very great, or just super great. Okay, now, I don't want to go into too much detail here. Let's just go on to the degrees. Generally, there are 3 degrees. Now, page 229. Let's see. Oh, okay. In the middle, actually just above what I read. These transcendental ecstatic symptoms gradually develop, and in the course of such development, they're sometimes called smoky, sometimes called blazing, and sometimes called shining. So these are the 3 main or general degrees. There's an example of the smoky condition at the bottom of page 229. Yeah, we've noted it there in our overview book. This is when the ecstatic symptoms are only slightly manifest. Prabhupada says, in the smoky condition, the symptoms could otherwise be hidden. Yes. It is not like the person is just being thrown by those symptoms. He could hide them. And the example is given of Gargamuni. He actually experienced a number of symptoms, a number of bhavas, sattvika bhavas, 3 in fact. There were tears, it says, visible in his eyes. Not like with Lord Chaitanya, when they were squirting out like water out of a syringe. Then you can't just kind of play it cool, you know. But Gargamuni, he could have played it cool. The tears were just kind of visible in the eyes. His throat was trembling. Just his throat. That's all. But his body was perspiring. Anyway, this is considered to be just a slight manifestation. Now, the next paragraph on page 230 is dealing with blazing, the 2nd degree. Prabhupada says several such ecstatic symptoms. It's mainly really, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 2 or 3, but they're stronger. They're stronger. 2 or 3 ecstatic symptoms, 2 or 3 sattvika bhavas manifest simultaneously, and they're very difficult to conceal. This is called blazing. So, in the same paragraph, there's a very nice example. One of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends tells Krishna, as soon as I heard your flute, my hands became almost motionless. My eyes became full of tears, so much so that I couldn't even recognize your peacock feather. My thighs became almost completely stunned. I couldn't even move an inch. So you can see, very difficult to conceal. In fact, you could hardly conceal, really. It's a stronger manifestation of a certain number of sattvika bhavas. And then there's another example, and that's in the next paragraph. And in this example, the gopi, Gopi is explaining what she went through when she heard the flute. And actually, she couldn't conceal it. My dear friend, when I heard the sound of Krishna's flute, I tried to hide myself from the reaction of the vibration. She tried to conceal it all. But still, I could not check the trembling of my body. And therefore, all my friends in the house could detect my attachment for Krishna without any doubt. Just see. So that is called blazing. Then normally, the highest level is called shining. This is now, let's see, the fourth paragraph on page 230. Prabhupada says, when the ecstatic symptoms cannot be checked, and they appear simultaneously in four or five categories, there are only eight, remember. So this is like halfway or more than halfway to having all of them manifest. That's really quite something. So this stage of ecstatic love, this type of manifestation of the sattvika bhavas, is called shining. So then there are a couple of examples given. Radharani, just see. Dear friend, you're blaming the aroma of the flowers for the tear in your eyes. You're rebuking the ear for the standing of the hairs on your body. Meaning, she's saying, oh, the wind is blowing and it's making my hairs on my arms stand up, something like that. And you're cursing your walking in the forest for your thighs being stunned. I know, maybe she's saying she's just feeling uncomfortable. Somehow or other, got some aches and pains. But your faltering voice reveals the cause to be different. It is just your attachment for Krishna. Of course, they can understand from all of them that these are all sattvika bhavas. This is all to do with Krishna. It's not just certain circumstantial, ordinary types of situations. And then, oh, just above that, there's the example of Narada. And he also experienced a number of symptoms very powerfully. And he couldn't play his veena. He couldn't offer any prayers. Couldn't see Krishna because of his tears. Then sometimes, in some very elevated devotees, there may be a fourth degree. This is on page 230 and going over to 231, the last paragraph on page 230. Five or more ecstatic symptoms manifest simultaneously and very powerfully. So this happened to the residents of Vrindavan, it seems, when Krishna left. When Krishna left, they were all perspiring. Obviously, in just an amazing way, like, you know, if you've ever sat in a sauna at 100 degrees centigrade, or 120, something crazy like that, you start perspiring. So it must have been some incredible perspiration. Not just, oh, you know, it's a bit of a hot day today, but must have really been some perspiration. And lamenting and crying. What sort of crying must that have been? You know, oftentimes Prabhupada and the Bhagavatam express things which are extremely dramatic, but in very sort of, what would you say, restrained ways. Like Prabhupada, when he describes the meeting of the inhabitants of Vrindavan with Krishna in Kurukshetra after so many years of separation, Prabhupada says, it was a very touching scene. So, normally, you know, we think of a very touching scene, and It's not such a big thing at all, really. But he's just using very restrained language because it must have been a very incredible scene. Most extremely amazing scene. Yeah. So their eyes have become moistened by tears. But we can understand they must have just been crying and rivers of tears. Yugaitam nameshena chakshusha pravishaitam shunyaitam jagatsaravam govindavirahename. It is this sort of mood, actually. Then there may even be a fifth degree. This is there in the next paragraph on page 231. Supreme symptom of ecstatic love. So this means all are manifest with the highest possible degree of intensity. You know, in the ultimate issue, it's only possible with Radharani and Lord Chaitanya. But in lesser degrees, it may be a few other special devotees like Lalita, Vishakha, to smaller degrees. But otherwise, in the full manifestation, it's really Radharani and Lord Chaitanya. All eight sattvika bhavas manifest to the maximum degree. That is the idea. Okay. Right, next thing is over the page in the overview book. Third paragraph on page 231 in your Nectar of Devotion. Srila Rupa Goswami further analyzes the ecstatic loving expression into four divisions which are called sattvic abhas. So there are four types. Four divisions, four types of sattvic abhas. We've listed them all out, analyzed it all in detail in the overview book. Most of it's there in Nectar of Devotion, although it might not always be totally as clear. First of all, there is Rati abhas. When the genuine affection of a pure devotee reflects in the heart of a neophyte or non-devotee. Now, before I go into this, I could just mention, if you have done the seminar on the eastern side of the ocean, yeah, and I'm sure some of you have, then you would know in chapter 18, am I right? At the end of that chapter, there's a discussion on the subject. So that was just like a broad discussion of what we're now going to discuss in detail here. And then we will also find over the next couple of days that there's not just sattvic abhas, there is vyabhachari abhas also. So there are numerous type of abhas situations or manifestations, forms of bhava abhas. So when we say four types of sattvic abhas, these are types of bhava abhas, but they're specifically sattvic bhava abhas, and that is what, this is now a more detailed discussion of what was generally described there in chapter 18. So first of all, there's rati abhas then. That means that the genuine ecstasy of a pure devotee reflects in the heart of a non-devotee, and this is reflected, obviously. There's reflected and shadow. A reflection is more clear than a shadow, isn't it? If you look in a mirror, your reflection, at another person's reflection, you can much more easily recognize who it is than if you just see the person's shadow. You may not be able to tell who it is at all. So this is a reflected type, Ruti Abbas. Ecstatic symptoms caused by proximity to a genuine ecstatic devotee. Because those genuine ecstatic devotees on the level of bhava, and they are manifesting sattvika bhavas, and it's all very amazing. So they are radiating their bhava, just like the sun radiates its rays. So this may reflect into the dark hearts of even people like impersonalists. So there's a reference there. It's somewhere in the middle of that fourth paragraph on page 231. Oh yeah, right in the middle. Even if the reactions to chanting are manifested in the impersonalist body, they should not be considered to be symptoms of actual bhava. Not actual sattvic bhavas, but reflections only. Then there is sattvic abhas. This is an interesting one. And Prabhupada has mentioned here that there are four, but this particular one is not really described in Nectar of Devotion specifically. What it is, we say it has no connection with transcendental ecstatic love, reflected or otherwise. It is simply a soft-hearted emotional disposition that causes the semblance of ecstasy when a person is exposed to some Krishna Leela, etc. Just like, I'll give you an example. Some of our devotees in South Africa a few years ago put on a play about Lord Ram leaving home. And they did it very well. And you might be familiar with that pastime. Dasarath, Ram's father, just becomes totally overwhelmed and dies in due course of time. But before he dies, it's a whole extremely emotional situation and so many sattvic bhavas. So afterwards, most of the audience were crying, actually. It was a very powerful thing. And afterwards, one of our devotees spoke to one of the audience, and the man said, "Yes, I know how Dasarath felt. I also had a son who left home." So this is a type of example. Or, you know, you may hear, like if you read, for example, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the second part, chapter 6, how Krishna leaves Vrindavan. It is intense. I mean, it's very detailed and very emotional description by Sanatan Goswami. So, people read such a thing, and it is not surprising if emotions are aroused. But it may not be real bhava as such, but it's just we have a proclivity due to our conditioning. If some very, you know, dramatic situation like that arises, then we may become emotional. Like if one of your parents dies, or something like that, you may become emotional. That's not a bhava. Okay, so that is sattvic bhas. Then there's pratipa. This is described in Nectar of Devotion. This is the next paragraph, second to last paragraph. The appearance of so-called ecstatic symptoms, so-called sattvika bhavas, in a cold-hearted person. Not so much because it's reflected from a devotee, but just because they've heard some Krishna katha. Yes. So, Prabhupada explains, such non-devotees are not actually melted. They are hard-hearted. But the influence of the glories of the Lord, the influence of Krishna Katha, is so great that even the non-devotees sometimes shed tears. And then there is, it's sort of like the worst of them, Nisattva. And this is described in Nectar of Devotion at the bottom of page 231 and on page 232. Someone just puts on an act. Prabhupada says, sometimes it's found that a non-devotee has practically no taste for Krishna, who actually, in other words, has no taste, and who follows no rules or regulations, can, by practice, make a show of devotional symptoms, like crying, or rolling, or whatever it may be. By practice. So it is not an actual ecstatic symptom. It is done simply by practice. It's simply an act. That's all. So those are the four sattvic abhasas. Any comments or questions? Well, see, I don't know about Madhavendra Puri. I mean, in that I haven't read about that. The only ones I've heard of are a few of the gopis and a few of the cowherd boys who are also connected with the conjugal rasa. And unfortunately, I didn't have time to look up the references, otherwise I would have looked them up. I think they're in Ujjvala Nilamani. Anyway, they're somewhere. There are some other devotees. But it's not Mahabhava. It's not like Mahabhava. It's sort of like a glimpse or the beginning, some lower level of. It means all eight sattvika bhavas, but not manifest to the maximum degree. Yeah. But all eight are there. It's like that. And as I say, Madhavendra Puri, I couldn't really comment on that. Yeah. The first one, Smoky, is called Dhumaita. D-H long U, M long A, Y-I-T-A. Dhumaita. Did you get that? Second one, blazing, Jwalit, J-V-A-L-I-T, short I, Jwalit. And shining is Deepta, D long I P T A, Deepta, D long I P T A, Deepta. And then the fourth one, the brightest, is Uddipta, U-D, then Deepta, Uddipta. Yeah, basically they some contact with an advanced devotee. It's not totally different. All I could say is, you know, I tried to look into that to see, are they the same thing? Are these burnt? But no. I mean dried, sorry, yeah. Dried up, the non-devotees. But it doesn't say they are. And seeing it's presented separately, I just got the impression somehow that they're separate. So I was going to say, you know, I was actually going to say that these are four types of dried up. But I don't think it's exactly like that. But the difference, you know, the subtlety of the difference, if there is one, I couldn't really get, I'm afraid. Any other comment or question? This is Bhavarabhas. Yeah. Rasabhasa is something else. That's to do with the rasas. It's on a higher level. This is Bhavarabhas. Tomorrow we're going to try to cover the next two chapters, which are about Vyabhichari Bhava. So if you get a chance, you can read through them, 29 and 30. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.